I grew up in a family of huggers, and I knew that would mean a lot to my mom. And that afternoon, after he had delivered the box and given her a hug, she called me. She says, she was all giggly about the box and all these little things. Oh, you shouldn't have, and oh, I'm glad you did, and you know, that kind of thing. And then she says, and Father Gregory gave me a hug. No Lutheran minister has ever hugged me. And I said, well, Mom, that's one of the things I love about Orthodoxy. We're huggers. We show our affection for one another. That's why we still have the agape meal at the end of our liturgies. That's what that is. The love feast that's described in the New Testament following the Eucharistic feast. And so then I continued struggling to be the very best, very attentive son. And then one day, I visited them. And during dinner, I said, Mom, you know, you're not the usual chipper self. You seem like there's something bothering you. There's nothing bothering me. And I said, Mom, you're kind of crabby. Oh, I am not. And my dad rolled his eyes. And I said, so what's going on? Oh, there's nothing, nothing. Come on, Mom, what's going on? And she finally admitted what was going on. She was very unhappy with her Lutheran church. They've lost all sense of reverence, she said. And so when my mother was playing the organ, she played the pipe organ. She also taught piano and pipe organ. When she would play the organ, people were coming into church quietly and taking the little bow and slipping into the pew and waiting for the service to begin in silence. And when people left, they left starting with the furthest aisle with the ushers ushering everybody out. Everybody left in silence. And the talking didn't happen until they were in the narthex greeting the pastor and then going into the parish hall. That was what my mother was used to, and that's what I grew up with. And now it was like everybody stood up at the same time. Everybody's talking to each other. They're fellowshipping in the church on their way out. All of that. And she said, and they're not playing the usual hymns. And one Sunday, the organist was going to be out of town, and the pastor asked my mother if she wouldn't mind playing the organ that Sunday. So my mother played a postlude, and no one left. And afterwards, an old man came up and said, Dolores, I didn't think I'd ever hear Finlandia again. And my mother played Finlandia on the pipe organ. And it was so moving to this congregation that no one left. My mother was an incredible organist, and the woman that was the stand-in, you know, who has been the organist since my mother's retirement, was really pretty horrible. And she, you know, she just didn't know. And then my mother always played, picked the hymns for the according to the church year. And this woman was just like throwing in any kind of hymn, and a lot of them sort of super evangelical hymns that my mother couldn't stand. And so when this woman got back, all she heard from everybody was, oh, Dolores is an incredible organist. Oh my God, she played Finlandia. Oh my, you know, blah, 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 blah. And this woman went to the pastor and she said, if Dolores ever plays the organ here again, I'm out. I'm quitting. So the next time this woman was on vacation, the pastor stood up in the pulpit and he said, well, our organist is on vacation, so I'm going to lead the hymns with my guitar.
Oh, God.
That was it for my mother. That's it. I can't. My mother wouldn't let any musical instrument in the choir loft that wasn't historical. So you could have a violin, you could have trumpets, but certainly not a guitar. And so my mother, that was it. So she says, we're going to start looking for another church. And I said, well, where are you going to go? You've tried every Lutheran church in Coeur d'Alene. Well, we're going to try Our Savior Lutheran Church, she said, Missouri Synod. And I said, Mom, you went there before. I said, the place looks like a modern steakhouse. It's in the round. The windows are ground level. You go in and it's all, the pews are in a circle around a round altar in the center. And they do praise services. Well, I know, but I said, Mom, where are you going to go? Every Lutheran church is doing this stuff now. Well, maybe we'll try the Episcopal Church. And I said, oh, like Grandma Parsons, who is Episcopalian. You can go there and anything goes. You can believe anything or nothing. And you'll have one high church priest 1 year, and then you have the swing on the other side. So that's what you want? Well, I said, Dad, I said, why don't you guys go to St. John the Baptist Orthodox Church in Post Falls? And my mother said, well, maybe sometime down the line we'll try it. They've been there once when I was preaching. And I looked at my dad and I said, Dad, who's the head of a Christian household? And he said, well, the husband, of course. Where are you going to church on Sunday? St. John the Baptist Orthodox Church. And my mother giggled. And they went. And 3 weeks later, they were catechumens. And they were embraced by the congregation. My mother called me that Sunday, and she said, oh, she said, we were treated like celebrities because we're your son. You're our son. And she and they just totally loved it. And then when my dad was the first person to be buried in their cemetery behind the church, and my mother is next to her. And I have to tell you that when I was in college, my favorite movie was Dr. Zhivago. And my favorite scene in Dr. Zhivago is the opening scene where the old priest is sensing the casket of the young future Dr. Zhivago's mother. And it's snowing. And so we come out of the church with my mother's casket to go around to the cemetery. And the day before, there had been about that much snow. They had to dig it all out, prepare the way. But it was a clear day when we started the service. And when we were coming out with my mother's casket, it was snowing. And I have a photo of myself sensing my mother's casket with the snow coming down. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm the old priest in Dr. Zhivago. And it's my mother. You know, it was this beautiful gift that God gave me to have that memory of what I had with my mom and my dad. And I share all of this with you because this is how we incarnate Christ in the midst. This is how we do it. And you know what I can't stand? I can't stand when there are clergy who think that the best way to share orthodoxy is by being aloof and professional. What? You know, that's not sharing the gospel. You know, that's what the Pharisees were good at that. They were so good at that. But our Lord got down with the people. He ate with the wrong people. He hung out with the wrong people. I can't imagine Jesus entering into any scene aloof. Kiss my hand. Can we imagine that? No, we cannot imagine that. And yet so often that's what we think should be the image of monastics, of bishops, and of priests. And I'm sorry, I don't agree with that. I just don't agree with that. When you look like this And you are living on an island that's about the size of Manhattan, the largest inland island in the Salish Sea. You have to get there by ferry from either West Seattle or downtown Seattle or Tacoma. And the New York Times last year referenced Vashon Island as being the most liberal city in the country. We're not even a city. But based on giving, so people that give to liberal causes, Vashon Island is considered the most liberal city in the country. Next to Seattle, which the New York Times said has the most self-declared atheists of any city in the country. And then there's this. And there's a reason why I grew up on a golf course. My dad was a golf pro. And he wasn't a churchgoer when I was a kid. And he was one of these, he would pal everybody. Everybody, he liked everybody, everybody liked him. His nickname was Big Al, big guy, and one of the best golf teachers in that whole neck of the woods. And everybody loved Big Al, except his son. He embarrassed me. I remember in high school, I thought, I wish Dad were a conservative businessman, wearing a suit and being quiet, instead of... And we had a young monk a number of years ago that admitted to me that I embarrassed him. He wished that I would be kind of quiet. And I said, you know what Father Basil Roth's nickname is for me? The Big T. He didn't know about Big Al. And I remember the first time I realized, oh my gosh, I'm Dad. I've turned into Dad. So what I do when I sense people are... I'll give you an example. I was just in Coeur d'Alene about a month and a half ago, visiting my brother and sister-in-law and a couple priest friends. And these two priests and I went to the Coeur d'Alene hotel, this big, gorgeous hotel that's too expensive to stay in, that's right downtown on the water. And we went through the lobby and we went out to this this open-air patio to have a cocktail. And we're sitting out there. As we walk in, there's a group of about five or six businessmen sitting there. And they look up at me. And it was one of those moments when time freezes. They're looking at me. And I'm looking at them. And I'm realizing, oh, I'm frozen and they're frozen. And I finally, and I went and sat down. But I kept thinking about them. Like, what in the heck is that they're thinking? And they're probably, so you know what I did? I walked over to them. And the two guys that had their backs to me, I went like this. Would you guys believe that at one time I played golf here? And that my dad was a golf professional here? And something really weird happened. And I walked away and they all laughed. This happened. And see, what that does is that in this day and age of unbelief, people need, especially young people, are attracted to authenticity. They don't need more religion. None of us need religion. The Pharisees had religion. What we need to share our orthodoxy is to share it in an authentic way. And we need to be agents of the Holy Spirit to help people want to look a second time at the Orthodox Church.